Well, last week we spent some time talking about this idea of God's will. And if you're just joining us this week and missed last week, when you hear that, it may invoke some emotion for you, depending on what your church experience was like, your faith experience was like growing up, or even if you didn't have any kind of church affiliation growing up, you may have heard Christians talk about God's will in a way that kind of turned you off to faith and to religion. And we certainly have many times through the years, church folks have gotten this wrong. We've turned God's will into this high-pressure decision of, one is going to be his will and the other one is not, and I better make the right decision. But what we talked about last week is that it's not so much what you do, it's how you do it. And we look specifically at one of Paul's letters where he says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's something that we can take and we can apply to every bit of our life. It really doesn't matter what we're doing in life. For the most part, he would say, look, God's will for you, whatever job you choose, whatever career path, the decisions that you're weighing out, God's will for you is that you be joyful always. You pray continually. You give thanks in all circumstances. It's not what you do. It's, hey, whatever you do, be joyful always. Live out of your connection with God and give thanks in all circumstances. And that's helpful. And hopefully it was encouraging to you to hear that last week. But we also get to points in our lives where we're making a decision and we really do want to know, okay, I've got two decisions on the table or two options on the table, or I've got these things that I'm trying to decide between. And I really would like to know, what is God's will? What is he leading me to do? What would God desire me to do in this situation? And while there's not a formula or a science behind it to figure out or somehow crack the code of what God's will is, there is some help that we get from the New Testament. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he brings up this idea of trying to discern God's will, trying to see clearly what he desires us to do and what he's leading us to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the end of verse 2, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He's given them a challenge or a command, and out of that, he's saying, look, once you do this thing, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul's saying, look, your vision can be cleared up, and you can see clearly what God is asking you or leading you or desiring you to do. I don't know if you've ever been to the eye doctor, but I wear contacts now, but I fought it for many, many years. In fact, my eyes, as they began to get bad in kind of my college years, post-college years, I actually found a way to cheat a little bit to make my eyes look a little clearer. And this is a little goofy, but I would actually, if I just press down on the top of my eyes like this, it would allow me to see clearly. So if I was at a large event and I was far from the stage and I wanted to see, the faces on stage, I would do this. And I have to admit that the first time I went to the eye doctor, and you know how they put the thing in front of your face and they want you to read the letters on the wall that, that kind of when they were looking, I just kind of reached up and gave myself my that little bit of help and, just cheated a little bit to get the letters that were up on the wall. And it helped me in that instance to kind of pass the test. They still could tell that my eyes weren't great. But eventually I gave in and I said, you know what? This is not serving me. This is not helping me. I'm still going around living most of my life not doing this. So I need to get the help that my eyes need. So I eventually got some glasses. I've been wearing glasses and contacts for years. And here's the amazing thing is once I actually started wearing glasses, it dawned on me just how bad my sight was. I didn't realize how blurry things were for me until it all got cleared up. But then once I got that fixed, I was able to see so much clearer. And that's sort of what Paul is saying in this verse in Romans 12. He's saying, look, you can clear up your vision when it comes to God's will. You can clear up your perspective in life and begin to see what it is that he's leading you to and what it is that he desires for you. How do we do that? We got to back up and read the first part of this verse, Romans 12:2. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Paul was writing to first century Christians living in Rome, and there were certainly patterns that were prevalent in the lives of most of the people living in Rome. The society, the culture had so many patterns about it. And Paul knew that if these people he was writing to, these early Christians, that if they weren't careful and if they weren't intentional, if they didn't make a choice to fight against it, that the society around them would conform them to certain beliefs, certain perspectives, certain lifestyles. He knew that wherever we go in the world, we're going to have this pressure on us to conform to the things around us. And the word conform really gives the idea of something from the outside pressing in on us and forming us in a certain way. And there were patterns in first century Rome, and there's patterns in our world today. And I'm curious for you, what would you say are the patterns of this world that have a tendency to conform you? There's some things that go on in the world today that you're never going to do, you're never going to participate in, that I'm never going to do, I'm never going to participate in. But then there's some things for all of us. We've got those few things that are just a part of the pattern of this world, and we're susceptible to them. And we have a tendency to just allow those things to creep in on us and from the outside in kind of pressure us to conform to them. Whatever those are, Paul's saying, this is where you got to start. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Those things that are pressing in on you, you've got to fight those. You got to be intentional to choose against those and to work against the natural flow of the society and the world around you. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And transformed is different than conformed. Transformed comes from the inside out. Rather than the outside pushing in, transformed starts on the inside and works its way outward. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul's saying, this is the way that you're going to transform your life. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what does it mean to renew our mind? The first thing is, if we want to renew our mind, we've got to pause. If we want to not be conformed to the pattern of the world, we can't just keep running at the pace of this world. And if we want any chance of seeing our thoughts and kind of getting into our mind and seeing what's healthy, we've got to pause from the pace that we run at. And even just pausing in and of itself can have a significant impact on us. And when we pause, it allows us to observe and to see, okay, what are those thoughts that I have? What are those thought patterns that I have that are not beneficial? What are the things that are weighing me down? What are the things that are burdening me? Those things become really, really clear when we take a second to pause. So we pause, and the second thing is we release. We release those thoughts and those cares and those burdens to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And in this process of renewing our minds, we have the opportunity to see the things that have been burdening us, weighing us down, some of our own thought patterns that just are counter to the life that God's inviting us into. And as we begin to observe those, we have the opportunity to release those to God. We're not going to solve them in the moment. It's just simply in that moment, taking them and giving them to God and saying, God, I want to cast my cares upon you. I want to release these challenging negative thoughts to you. Would you help me with them? And then after we release those thoughts, the third thing we do is we direct our minds. You've probably heard the analogy before that if you're setting out to reach San Francisco from Washington, D.C., but you're only 1 degree off, you'll end up being hundreds of miles off of your final destination when you get there. And this is often the way that our days go. You know, our mind at the beginning of the day is 1 degree off. And by the time we get to mealtime in the evening, or by the time we get home from work, we realize that we're miles from where we want to be. So we've got to set the course mentally. We got to spend time praying God and asking Him to shape our thoughts and direct our thoughts. When we do those three things, when we pause and we release and we direct our thoughts, we will begin to renew our minds. And as Paul says, when we renew our minds, it transforms us. It changes us. It causes us to start living differently. And not only that, it begins to clear up our vision. It begins to help us see, oh, how bad our vision was maybe a few weeks ago or a few months ago, and now I can see so much clearer. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, once you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll begin to see clearly. You'll begin to know, okay, this is the way that God is leading me. And here's the encouraging thing. Where He's leading you, His will, Paul describes it in this way, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What God desires for you, what He's leading you into, is not perfect circumstances, but it's a life that is filled with joy and with peace and with love and with patience and with kindness, goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's what God wills for you. That's what God wills for me. In order for us to see it, we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to begin to think differently. We got to clear our heads. And then we'll be able to see what His will is for us. So I'm going to pray for us in just a minute. But I would encourage you over the next few days, over the next week, if you're not in the habit of doing this already, or even if you are, you can add to your current habit. But I want you to take some time to pause and to release your negative thoughts to God. Cast your cares on Him. And then direct your mind in His direction. And I would encourage you to do this at the start of the day so that you're setting the course, you're setting the direction for your day. And begin to experience the clarity of mind that He'll bring to us if we do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You, and we are grateful for the life that You have given us. The love that You have shown us. In fact, we love You because You first loved us and You sent Your Son on our behalf to die and to be raised again so that we could have a relationship with You. And Lord, we know that Your way is the best way. And we want to walk in that. We want to see clearly what You're leading us to do, what Your will is in our lives. God, so would You help us to do these things that Paul said. God, thank You that You gave us a way to see clearly what You're leading us to do. Would You help us live this out? Would You help us not be conformed to the pattern of this world? But God, help us to take these steps every single day to renew our mind and ultimately be transformed and see Your will on the other side of it. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.